What words or images come to mind when you consider the crucifixion of Jesus? For most of us, our minds think of words such as agony, torture, humiliation, and brutality. In today's message on Delight in the Word, which is part two of a two-part message from the Gospel of John chapter 19, Pastor Paul Tauchus urges us to consider another word in connection to the crucifixion, a word that many of us may not associate with crucifixion and a cross, and that word is grace. Indeed, God's grace towards sinful men and women is clearly and radically displayed in the cross of Christ. And we see this grace revealed for us in three statements that Jesus makes while suffering on the cross. First, Pastor Paul will explain to us how we see the grace of forgiveness demonstrated in our Savior's words toward his executioners and toward those who stood mocking and jeering at him in his agony. Secondly, we will discover the grace of acceptance in Jesus' response to a rightly convicted criminal hanging on a cross next to our Savior. And then finally, we will see the grace of compassion, which is found in Jesus' words to his mother Mary as she stood at the foot of the cross watching the death of her beloved son. Indeed, there can be no clearer, more compelling picture of God's grace than in the words of his son Jesus as he hangs upon the cross. Let's turn together now to the Gospel of John chapter 19, where we will see the beauty of God's grace poured out from the cross as we together delight in the Word.
Jesus experienced abandonment from God so that you and I would not have to. So that you and I could be reconciled. I want to read for you a harmony of those first 3 hours, all four gospel accounts taken and merged into one seamless story of those first 3 hours on the cross. And what I want you to listen for are the first three of seven sentences that Jesus speaks while on the cross. Then they crucified him, and Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do." Now it was the third hour, and the people stood looking on. It was 9 a.m. Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts, to each soldier a part, and also the tunic. Now the tunic was without seam, woven from the top in one piece. They said therefore among themselves, "Let us not tear it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be." And they divided his garments and cast lots for them to determine what every man should take, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, "They divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots." Therefore the soldiers did these things. Sitting down, they kept watch over him there. Now Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and they put it up over his head, the inscription of the accusation written against him, "This is Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." Then many of the Jews read this title, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and it was written in Hebrew, Greek, and Latin. Therefore the chief priests of the Jews said to Pilate, "Do not write 'The King of the Jews,' but 'He said, I am the King of the Jews.'" Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written." Then two robbers were crucified with him, one on his right and the other on his left, and Jesus in the center. So the scripture was fulfilled, which says, "And he was numbered with the transgressors." And those who passed by blasphemed him, wagging their heads and saying, "Aha, you who destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. If you really are the Son of God, come down from the cross." Likewise, the chief priests also, mocking among themselves with the scribes and elders, sneered, saying, "He saved others. Himself he cannot save. Let him save himself if he really is the Christ, the chosen of God. If he really is the King of Israel, let him come down now from the cross, that we may see and believe him. He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now, if he will have him, for he said, I am the Son of God. The soldiers also mocked him, coming and offering him sour wine and saying, if you are the King of the Jews, save yourself. Even the robbers who were crucified with him reviled him with the same thing. Then one of the criminals who were hanged blasphemed him, saying, if you are the Christ, save yourself and us. But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, do you not even fear God, seeing that you are under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong. And then he said to Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said to him, assuredly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing by, he said to his mother, woman, behold your son. Then he said to the disciple, behold your mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her into his own home. The first 3 hours. So I want you to think about those first 3 hours, and I want you to think about those first 3 of 7 statements that Jesus made. Picking it up in John 19:17, it says he went out bearing his own cross to the place called the place of a skull. Other gospels tell us that Jesus was unable to carry the cross himself, and so they enlisted a man to help him. So weak from the beating, so weak from the flogging, Simon of Cyrene was called in to help him carry his cross to the place of a skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha. And there they crucified him, and with him two others, one on either side, and Jesus between them. Pilate wrote on the inscription, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. And as we already read from the harmony, the Jews didn't like that. They said, just say that he said that. And Pilate said in verse 22, what I've written, I've written. And then between verses 22 and 23 comes, according to the Gospel of Luke, this first statement of Jesus from the cross, which is, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. As they are about to take his garments and divide them among the 4 soldiers, the 4 executioners, Jesus says, Father, forgive them. So as you think about the graciousness of the King here this morning, I want you to, in these 3 statements, see grace, 3 kinds of grace. First, the grace of forgiveness. The graciousness of the King is seen in the grace of forgiveness. When Jesus says, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. Forgive my executioners, Jesus was saying, for they do this in ignorance. Now, Jesus was not saying that they were not responsible. What he was saying was they were under the cover of darkness themselves. They were ignorant. They were blinded by Satan. And so it is for all sinners. Unless God, by the power of the gospel, lifts from our heart the blindness that keeps us from coming to King Jesus, we remain blind. But he said, Father, forgive them. And think about this. To forgive means to let go, means to put away. It means to take an offense and to render it null and void based upon the price having been paid by someone else. And that's exactly what God does for you and for me. When we come to Him in Jesus Christ, God looks at the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, the price that was paid, as sufficient for our sin. And so He then puts away, casts away, the offenses that we have committed against Him. And so deep is this forgiveness that the psalmist says that it's as far as the east is from the west. It's cast into the sea. The grace of forgiveness. Do you know this grace? Have you experienced this grace of forgiveness from the Lord Jesus? But you say, Paul, you don't know what I've done. You don't know my past. You don't even know my present. You don't even know what's going through my mind. You don't know all the things I've done to offend God. I don't need to know. God knows. And God says to you, what Jesus has done for you on the cross is sufficient. And to prove it, I've raised Him from the dead. So the question is, will you come to Jesus? And if not, why not? Why will you not come to Jesus? Why will you not come to the gracious King? The one who is abounding in loving kindness and grace. If Jesus could forgive the very men who had nailed Him to the cross, the very ones who were putting Him to death, why in the world do you think He wouldn't forgive you? Stop trying to prove something to yourself or to God. Just come to Him in humility and brokenness and say, Lord, I've made a mess of my life. I need You. I need Jesus. I need to be forgiven. John says then His garments were divided into four parts, except for one part, which was a seamless tunic. And so then they cast lots to see who would get that one. And so there Jesus was hanging upon the cross naked. The ultimate shame. The Bible says that He did that so that He could then take away your shame and my shame. What are you ashamed of? What are you ashamed of in your past? What are you ashamed of in your present? Do you not think that Jesus and the shame that He has endured, do you not think that that's enough to take away your shame? It is. And so it says they did all this to fulfill the Scriptures. And then between verses 24 and 25, the Gospel of Luke informs us that the second statement was made by Jesus, and this time it was made to one of the robbers next to Him. And this robber, who humbly acknowledged Jesus as being the rightful King. You can see that in what he says, remember me when you come in your what? Kingdom. So, unlike the religious leaders who were refusing to believe that Jesus is the King, this broken, humble criminal acknowledged, unlike the other one, that he deserved to be on that cross, but Jesus didn't. And so as the Holy Spirit so worked in this man's heart, brought him to that place of acknowledging the kingship of the Lord Jesus, and Jesus says, today in paradise, today you will be with me in paradise. What a promise. This is the grace of acceptance. See the grace of forgiveness in his first statement. You see the grace of acceptance. What do I mean by that? Well, think of who he said this to. He said this to one of the guilty criminals who was hanging next to him. And he was saying, by grace, I accept you into my kingdom. And today, when your life on this cross expires, you will be with me. Maybe you have a problem with that. Maybe you're sitting here thinking, what in the world? How can that be fair? I have been a good person my whole life. I have tried to do what's right. God knows I haven't always done right. I have failed. I've made mistakes. But he knows my heart. He knows I've tried. And how could it be possible that that man in the last moments of his life, a criminal, could inherit the same salvation that I am trying to inherit? And I simply say to you that then you don't get it. You don't understand grace. You haven't come to the point of realizing that none of us deserve to be saved. None of us. And God has every right to extend his grace to a criminal in the last hours of his life, as he does to extend it to someone who is morally upright and good in the eyes of the world, but finally comes to recognize he's a sinner. What I love about this second statement that Jesus makes is the reminder to us that there is only one way to be accepted by God, and that is by grace, through faith, in Jesus Christ. Do you understand that? Do you recognize that? Or are you trying to make yourself acceptable to God somehow, in some way? Paul says in Ephesians that believers are accepted in the Beloved One. So we are accepted in Christ. That's the only way to be accepted by God. I was raised in a works religion, where I was told you have to do this, and 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 at the end of your life, maybe you'll be accepted by God. But if not, then that's okay, because then you'll go to a place of temporary punishment, and they'll clean you all up, and you'll be purged of all your sins, and then one day, God will accept you. And I think that it's all of us, in our works mentality, that's our default way of thinking. That acceptance by God is somehow based upon ourselves and what we've done for him, what we are doing for him. I tell you what that's done for me in my life. When I am operating in that default sinful way of thinking, then I am a pretty insecure guy. Because I don't know where my security lies. But But the more I realize that I am accepted purely by grace, by God, in Christ, nothing to do with me. That's a secure place to live. It's a peaceful place to live. Because it's all of grace. Today, Jesus said to him, you'll be with me. And then finally, we see the grace of compassion. So the grace of forgiveness, the grace of acceptance, and the grace of compassion. And here we see this in Jesus' words to his mother and to the Apostle John. Jesus, of course, knows he's about to die, but he wants to honor his mother. And so he says to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." In other words, look at your son, John, my disciple, my beloved one. He is now going to take my place in caring for you. And John, behold your mother. That's compassion. That's the grace of compassion. That's the grace of God. That's the grace of Jesus saying, I'm taking care of you. I know your needs. You're not forgotten. I will never fail you. I'll never forsake you. This is the graciousness of the King. Is this the King that you know? Is this the way you see King Jesus? As gracious, overflowing with the grace of forgiveness, overflowing with the grace of acceptance, and overflowing with the grace of compassion. I hope and pray that you do. And that if you have never reached out with empty hands of faith to Him, that today would be the day. That today would be the day that you embrace the King for who He is. And you are brought into the family of God. Father, we praise you for your grace and your forgiveness. Lord, we are humbled to think about those first 3 hours that Jesus hung upon the cross. All that he endured, the pain, the suffering, the mockery, the scorn from people he had made as the Creator. And yet, Father, we see the truth of Scripture laid out for us that your grace is greater than our sin, and Calvary proves that. Your love for us is greater than our sins against you. And I pray, Father, that every one of us here today would be being instructed by your Spirit to see Christ as who he really is, as the rightful King, the one who wants to reign in our hearts, the one who is overflowing with forgiveness and acceptance and compassion. And so I pray by your Spirit, so work in our hearts to bring about the response that you desire, that we might know you and we might worship you for who you really are. In Christ's name.
Do you know God's grace? Have you experienced this grace of forgiveness from the Lord Jesus? It is a grace of forgiveness that extends as far as the east is from the west, the psalmist tells us. If you have experienced God's grace of forgiveness in your life, then won't you take a moment, an opportunity today, and praise God, thank God, rejoice in God for His word of grace in your life? And if you have yet to experience God's grace, what is holding you back? What are you holding on to and trusting to save you instead of the grace of God? The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2, that now is the day of salvation. And again in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 8, that today if you hear God's voice, do not harden your hearts. God's grace is able to cover all of our shame, past, present, and future. And God covers all of our sin. We have only to place our faith and trust in His Son Jesus as both our Savior and our King. And if you do that, then today could be the very day that you experience God's grace, both now and for all of eternity. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to listen again, you can find the program on our website at delightintheword.org, or you can find the program where you listen to your podcasts. While you're on our website, feel free to check out all the resources available to you. This program has been brought to you by Cornerstone Community Church in Mayfield Heights, Ohio. If you live near Cleveland and you're not already involved in a church, we invite you to visit us at Cornerstone. Please join us next time as we continue our series, From Garden to Garden, as we together delight in the Word.